Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 14, 2022. My new article on LinkedIn, Queen Elizabeth and the Eternal Kingdom. I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service. Those were the words of commitment of then Princess Elizabeth before becoming the Queen, and the first British monarch to celebrate a platinum jubilee, marking this month 70 years of service to the people of the United Kingdom. People can learn from her example how to stand by one's words and hold a role in steady devotion even when surrounded by storms. For 7 decades this petite but strong of stature lady has ruled Britain, containing the contrasts between the longing for empire and modern multiculturalism. She has showed stamina when intimate and embarrassing details of her family have spread across the world's media. At 96 years old, although showing physical fragility, she provides stability to the turbulent world of modern societies. I do not know another leader like her, a woman who recognizes and assumes the power of her role with unparalleled commitment, acts with a determined spirit and impressive willpower, knows exactly how to function to give the world the degree of steadiness it needs. She receives guests, attends ceremonies, even goes hunting in Scotland, not for her own pleasure, but as part of a royal protocol. Well done to her. Elizabeth II seems to be the last of the queens. Time is doing its thing, and all the descendants of the crown exhibit an emptiness that does not fit into a throne. True kings or queens are not allowed to function according to their private will, according to desires and gut feelings, but to act according to what is desired for their role. A king is a single leader who stands at the head and under him the others. This pattern is rooted in the plan of creation. Similar to the kingdom of the upper nature, the kingdom of heaven, the dynasties of kings on earth are a permanent, stable and unchanging factor that runs like a thread through the periods and generations. A kingdom is like a material branch that emerges from a spiritual root. Just as a hierarchy prevails in nature, a royal monarchy can be a suitable form of government in human society. For several centuries in human history there has been such a close and visible connection between the people and the king of the world. It was the dynasty of the House of David that operated in Jerusalem until the destruction of the temple, a passing episode that ended about 2,000 years ago. The people of Israel are essentially not built to exist under a royal house. By nature, we despise anyone who jumps and wants to be bigger than the others. The rest of the nations are willing to surrender under who among them knows how to lead them. For Israel, this is not appropriate and will not happen. From the beginning we were meant to exist in equality, to bow only to the supreme power of nature, and not to a king of flesh and blood. We will succeed as a nation only if we unite with one heart and as a consequence reveal the hidden force of nature. This force will then truly rule over us, and will cleanse us of our egoistic nature. We should do this not only for the sake of our good future, but to demonstrate to the world the kind of heartfelt connection it must reach in order for all of us alike to cling to him, the eternal king of the world. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, debunking the myth that America loves Israel. Americans have probably long known this, but for Israelis, the realization that America may not be our best friend and faithful guardian is somewhat of a shocker. Now, for those still in doubt, a new book by distinguished university professor of history at the University of Maryland, Jeffrey Hirth, exposes the extent and intensity of opposition to the Zionist project in the entire top leadership of both the State Department and the Pentagon. Hirth's extensive research draws on new research in government, public, and private archives. The research reveals, for example, that on September 13, 1947, 2.5 months before the League of Nations vote on the establishment of a Jewish and Arab state in Palestine, William Eddy, Special Assistant to Secretary of State by George Marshall, wrote to his superior of his objection to the establishment of a theocratic, racial Zionist state. According to Herf, Eddie found the Zionist project morally objectionable. Eddie was far from being a lone voice. The objection to the Zionist project was shared by Secretary of State Marshall, the Under Secretary of State, Robert Lovett, the head of the department's Near East Division, Loy Henderson, the Secretary of Defense, James Forrestal, members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Admiral Roscoe Hinkle-Etter, the first director of the Central Intelligence Agency, as well as Kennan and his policy planning staff in the State Department. On February 1, 1944, Senators Robert Wagner and Robert Taft introduced a resolution seeking to abrogate the 1939 White Paper issued by the British Mandate authorities in Palestine, due to its anti-Zionist bias. According to Herf, critics of the Wagner-Taft resolution denounced the Zionist project as an effort to establish a theocratic state, and argued that Wagner and Taft were proposing to establish a theocratic state based upon religious or racial discrimination. "I am always in favor of exposing the truth as a first step toward correction. Indeed, America's attitude toward Israel has always been very pragmatic. It has always sought to do what is best for America and nothing else. America has no regard for Jewish or Israeli interests or for anyone's interests but its own. Nor do they care about pressure from Jewish lobbies or the State of Israel. They simply have no regard for it. Whatever is good for America, this is what they will do, and the sooner everyone in Israel realizes it, the better it is for Israel. If at some point, America decides that supporting or protecting Israel does not serve its interests, it will kick Israel out the window just like that. We should wake up from our naivety that leaders and countries that smile at us, do so because they like us. I understand that centuries of persecution and suffering have made us receptive to such gestures, but they are illusions, and like all illusions, they always shatter painfully. If Israel wants to be accepted by the nations, it must nurture its inner solidarity, and abandon its futile attempts to appease the world. The only thing that the world needs to see in Israel is Israelis striving to unite above all their divisions. This should be the sole interest of the State of Israel. However, unlike America's interests, Israel's interests are congruent with the interests of America, and with the interests of the entire world. Our duty is to be a model of unity, solidarity, and mutual responsibility. Nothing else will legitimize our presence in the land of our fathers, who taught us that love your neighbor as yourself is the comprehensive law of our nation. Until we strive to set an example of such unity, no one will accept us. But if we learn to embrace one another, the world will embrace us in return. And speaking of books, you will find more on the link between Jewish unity and hatred of Israel in my book The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. My new article on LinkedIn, Every Boom Has Its Bust. Us, Bonds Flag Recession Risk, says today's headline on Bloomberg.com. Futures put S&P 500 on course to enter bear market, reads today's headline of the Wall Street Journal. Other newspapers, too, devote their business sections to the worsening economic outlook, and everyone seems alarmed, and mainly surprised, as if they did not expect the rise in commodity prices, the war in Ukraine, the semiconductor shortage, the shipment delays, and the very generous COVID relief packages to have a negative impact on the economy. In fact, even without so many good reasons for a slowdown, nothing in reality evolves in straight lines, things evolve in sinusoids, in waves, and so does the economy. A straight line means death, and the economy reflects the relationships between people. As such, it is always changing, and after every boom there is a bust. Therefore, I do not think that the downturn is such a disaster, it is actually a sign of vitality. When I was in high school, many years ago, we learned something called politeconomy. Even back then, They taught me that the economy always moves in waves, that there is a constant up and down motion, and the line of its progress is not straight but sinusoidal. This is why every time I hear about bear markets and crises and busts after booms, I am reminded that it cannot be otherwise. We will always advance in sinusoidal waves, there is simply no other option because this is how all the laws of nature work, including in commerce and economics. The only time you see a straight line in regard to something that is supposed to be alive and changing is when that something has died. This is why it should not alarm or surprise us when someone lost billions of dollars, since it is simply a part of the wave. Recently, it has become clear that the economy is overinflated and a bust is imminent. Corporations and wealthy investors have accumulated enough surplus to ride out the slump, and there is no major breakdown on the horizon. On another note, I personally would not recommend my children to get into the high-tech industry where these waves are felt the most. People burn themselves out and end up with no real benefit. If anything, it makes them condescending, as if they are superior, but it is completely unwarranted. If I were to recommend a good career for my children, it would be a career in teaching people how to connect positively to other people. This skill will be in high demand in the years to come, and people who work in it will reap rewards that no other career can give. Correcting the root of a state. Question. Researchers believe that a person himself can create fortune with his positive thoughts, words, and actions. Do you agree with this? Answer. A person can create a certain matrix around himself. This is good, this is bad, this is better, this is worse, etc., and thus determine his state. There is nothing absolute about it, it is all relative. There are people, from our point of view, who suffer a lot in prisons, in hospitals, anywhere, and if you talk to them, they will say, no, this is a normal state. One can live like that. After all, we all are living. So, there is a problem here. On the one hand, thinking positively, complimenting people, and doing good deeds does help. On the other hand, this does not ultimately correct the state, but only sort of smooths it out. If you dress this state with honey, it will become a little sweeter, but the very bitterness of what is under your dressing will not change. It is necessary to correct the root of the state so that it can never manifest itself as evil. The root is our egoism. If we annul it, we can feel ourselves above it, in a world full of goodness, love, and light. Egoism is our intentions and all the evil of the world, which depends only on a person and manifests itself in relation to him. Our words and thoughts are just the outer shells of egoism. You can say beautiful words and do some actions, but they may not correspond to your heart. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, May 24, 2022. The Secret of Successful Coexistence. In the news, Time, another new study has found that women who make more money than their men are more likely to be cheated on. The study examined 18 to 28 year olds who were living together or married more than a year. The cohort, it turns out, most likely to be out-earning men, it found that men who were completely dependent on their wives' incomes were 5 times likelier to cheat than those who contributed the same amount to the household finances. Question: is one a consequence of the other? After all, a woman should offer a man her desires and push him to develop so that he does not remain a child carried away through playing games. Would it turn out that by doing these things for him, she neutralizes this natural process? Answer, yes. Firstly, he feels like a boy next to her and boys love to play pranks. Secondly, in such cases he feels his inadequacy and wants to have a woman who is not above him, but the other way around, and therefore, he cheats. That is, he must somehow compensate for himself as a man. Question: but he himself consciously chooses this path. And then he wants to compensate? Answer: it is convenient for him actually. Maybe he is an underdeveloped adult and there are a lot of such individuals among men. In addition, a man of our world does not see a woman as a serious partner. He sees in her what serves him. Moreover, if he treats her as a continuation of his mother, then one technically cannot cheat on one's mother because one's mother must understand and accept everything. Subconsciously, this sits very deeply in him and therefore he does not feel his sin. There is a certain bravado and even frankness in this. At the same time, women very rarely brag about their love as to each other, although today's world is quite different. But still, a woman is drawn to connection and constancy. According to her nature, she enjoys a permanent partner and for a man it is the other way round. Here, on the part of nature there is a huge problem for which we need to compensate and this can be done only by a spiritual connection between them. A physical connection without a spiritual one will not be able to create a family or a normal connection, nothing. Partners meet and separate. And if we attach a spiritual connection to this, then both a man and a woman will be mutually satisfied. They will see their physical connection as only the basis for the spiritual one and will successfully coexist together. From CabTV's close-up. Siamese Twins, September 19, 2010. Do not obscure the Creator with yourself. Question: I heard a proverb, there was no case that a naked person lost anything. Is a sense of loss good or bad? Answer: it depends on how a person looks at it. If he begins to see a loss as an acquisition, that is, he is becoming free, he frees himself to receive something higher, then, of course, go ahead and lose. But this is already not a loss. Question: does it then become an acquisition? Answer: the acquisition of empty space, of a place. A place is already a divine state. This is a place that is getting filled by the Creator. When we create it symptom, restriction, within ourselves, we must feel that we are creating and making a place for the revelation of the Creator. Instead, we treat it as some kind of loss. Give it away, free yourself and find this place. It is the highest one because it is empty. Question: are you saying that if the vector is directed to me, then I lost? Answer: yes, of course. Question: and if it is directed, for example, to the Creator, does it mean that I found? Answer: there is not even such a word as found. You give the Creator an opportunity to reveal himself. You do not obscure him with yourself. Question: can this practically be attributed to all our losses, that all losses are as if acquisitions? Answer: absolutely to all of them. It is because if I exist, there is no greater evil than the fact that I exist. I exist. How to make it so that there is no I? Question: how can this evil be converted into good? Answer: only by giving up the fact that I exist. Question: and what is I then? Answer: nothing. Make room, do not occupy it, let the Creator be revealed. Question: so, are you saying, there should not be a single thought about myself, right? Answer: absolutely. Question: what should my thoughts be about? Answer: I want the Creator to be revealed. I do not want to obscure him. Question: you say I. What is I then, when you say, I do not want to obscure him? I want the Creator to be revealed? Answer: this is the point I received from him and apart from this point I have nothing else. This is the point of the Creator from above. Question: then what is a naked person in there was no case that a naked person lost anything? Answer: when, apart from this point, he feels nothing else. There is nothing in him besides that point that can only say that this is me, and this is what I want to leave. That is, I cannot refuse it because I received it from the Creator. And besides that, I do not want anything. There are no words for this. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, December 6, 2021. Everything will be fine. Comment: According to the UN, 40% of the world's lands are defined as degraded, that is, deprived of natural resources, water, trees, vegetation. This damage is clearly from man's economic activity, from agriculture squeezing everything out of the ground, forests are cut down, minerals are extracted, industrial pollution goes on. And so we are approaching starvation. They say that next year, 2023, a serious famine is expected as a result of these wars and environmental disasters. But still, I want to ask you about the Creator. We hear all the time about what's going on, all this environmental disaster. The Creator created this blue planet with shade, with water, with minerals, with everything necessary for a person, as if he settled man here. Was it really not clear that a monster with a terrible egoistic nature was settling here? Answer: not a monster. He is given all the conditions in order to realize who he is. And recognition is possible only from the opposite state. Only from the opposite state. And therefore, indeed, although he is a monster, he is given the opportunity to feel himself and raise himself to the highest degree, to the degree of the Creator. The Creator is not capable of such a thing. But we were created by him specifically in this state. Question: meaning that in the beginning, he created us, in such magnificent conditions that we are destroying in full now with wars, our attitude, and so on. Was this realized by the Creator? Answer: of course. Question: it means that we have to reach some low point, that we are really savages and beasts? And for this to destroy the whole planet? Isn't it a shame? Answer: not to destroy it physically, it is enough for us to see what we are doing, to realize. The fact is that if a person is stupid, then he needs to descend into this state physically. And if he is smart, then he may not sink physically, but it is enough for him to see it from afar. And this will already be enough to understand this state and not desire it. Comment: but if we don't feel the master and we feel like we are the masters, then what you say will never happen. We don't feel that we are robbing and destroying. My response: we will start shouting from the pain, from fear, from all the problems, where to go. What to do? We have nowhere to get away from this earth. The earth itself is burning under the feet of humanity. And then we will begin to feel that we have no other choice but to discover the force that controls us. Then we will begin to feel this force from the point of view of our egoism. Who controls us? Who allowed this? Who did this? Where is the villain who made such conditions for us? And at the same time we will begin to realize that we ourselves, it turns out, made it out of good conditions, as it is said, and God settled man in the Garden of Eden. And then look at what the little man made of all this. Violated all conditions, all laws. God settled man on this earth, and he began to destroy it. And he will destroy it almost to the limit. That's when he will feel that he has no other way out. He must change himself. Not just the earth and around him, but change himself. As soon as he realizes that the correction of the world is in correcting himself, then he will reach the recognition of evil. And nothing else is needed. We don't need evil itself, we only need the recognition of evil. As soon as he realizes the evil and says, oh, that's it, the lowest point will be passed, and he will begin to rise. Comment: but we have destroyed this Garden of Eden. Where are we going to rise? We were given paradise, and we destroyed it. My response: it's all inside us. Question: and all these resources, all these destroyed lands, ecology? Answer: no. This is all nonsense. Suddenly you will find that you are sprouting in a completely different place, not on the planet. You don't need this planet and the physical world. All this is not necessary. All you need is relationships. You only live in relationships, outside of bodies. This is the heavenly state. This is the real, true state. And our world is called imaginary. You will begin to live in this heavenly state. and we will settle in it. Question: and this world as if it did not exist? Answer: it is already called an imaginary world. Question: so it's like it's done its duty and can disappear? Answer: yes, it exists in our uncorrected desires, intentions, and qualities, so that we realize all this and would want to rise to the true state, to get out of this delusion, were like in a dream, to get out of this dream. Comment: the sooner the better. My response: it depends on the desire. Everything will happen. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, April 28, 2022. Thought is the matter of the universe. In the news: can negative thinking make you sick? By now, the mind-body connection is a familiar idea. Most people are aware, for example, that stress can produce physical symptoms like an upset stomach, or that depression often physically hurts. But a growing body of research suggests that negative emotions and thoughts may also have links to other serious health problems, like heart disease. Many negative emotions such as anger, fear, and frustration become problematic when those emotions turn into a more permanent disposition or a habitual outlook on the world, explains Emiliana Simon Thomas, PhD, Science Director of the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley. Question: does the appearance of such a disease as cancer relate to our thoughts? Answer: the fact of the matter is that our thoughts are the basis of all problems. Good thoughts are the foundation of all good actions in the world. Thoughts are the most important thing. Everything is done by thoughts. In actuality, our hands do nothing. We are tied to each other by thoughts. If something happens at one end of the world, it resonates at the other end. Today our system is being revealed as a global one where everything is interconnected, and every day we feel this interconnection more and more. Moreover, this is not actually being created now, because we are simply revealing the essence that has always existed. It turns out that we are connected all the time. And how are we connected? With our thoughts. The whole universe, the whole nature, is one enormous thought and thinking field into which we add everything with our thoughts. Imagine how much better the world would be if we controlled and clearly realized how to think in order not to release a bad thought into the world, to stop it before it originates in us, and to make sure that all the thoughts that arise in us were only positive. That is when we will begin to know who we really are, where all this comes from in us, and the nature of our essence. We will begin to see and feel ourselves not just as a piece of flesh in which all sorts of fluctuations occur, like thoughts, such desires, whose origins I don't know. I will begin to feel my root, which is somewhere in the depths of me, where my desires, thoughts, heart, and mind originate. And I want to affect my root so that everything in it is positive, and so that I proceed from my root, from my point, from my I, from my soul, and not use my body to participate in the world, in this whole huge thinking and feeling system, but in this huge field only as a positive element. And so does another person, a third and a fourth. Then everyone will not grab everything from the world with their thoughts and want to devour it like a cancerous tumor, but will act to the contrary. The world will become harmonious and built on mutual bestowal, like cells in a healthy body that are engaged only in giving to each other and therefore the body lives. Then we will be able to exist in a completely different world, in such harmony that we will clearly feel as an eternal and perfect state. Precisely this will be the upper world. And we will stop feeling our body, because it will disappear. It. Like in the Philadelphia experiment when the ship disappeared. This is how my body disappears, because I will only feel the point from where my thoughts and desires originate and how I am connected by them with everyone else. I will exist only in a field, a volume, and a world where there are only thoughts and desires and there is no flesh. From CapTV's close-up. The Philadelphia experiment, October 24, 2010. Converting knowledge into feelings. Question: What are the Ten Commandments? Answer: Once you get out of the Egyptian slavery, that is, out of the power of egoism, you begin to take on other forms of connection between you and the Creator, between you and others. An action above one's egoism is called a commandment. Question: So, the structure of the ten sephirot receives 10 blows and after that I perform 10 actions to connect with the Creator? Answer: Let's say so. Yes. Comment: This is all very complex, not simple. In general, the world is, of course, a complicated system. My response: I don't think so. We just do not want to convert it into sensations, then everything would become quite simple. The most important thing is not to leave it in your head, in some calculations, but to convert it into feelings. Question: But what does we do not want to mean? Everyone would like to feel the Creator. It does not work. Answer: You can feel it only if you want to rise above your egoism and act in spite of it. You will have to cultivate this movement within yourself, perhaps over many years. Question: Why does one still have a feeling that it is only him and the Creator? Why don't we have a natural awareness that in order to reveal the upper force, there must be at least 10 people? There is no such thing in society. On the contrary, if you want to reveal the Creator, you must seclude yourself, and in general, it seems to be something internal, concealed. What do any other people have to do with this? Why should I share the Creator with them? Answer: You must do this in order not to deceive yourself, so that you clearly see whether you are approaching the quality of love and bestowal or not. If you can do this in relation to other people, then once you achieve this quality, you will relate to the Creator the same way. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, May 10, 2022.